Hey everyone, it's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, the NFL Road Show. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Road Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U. Thank you,
man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Stays till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Mugger. This evening I'm joined by three wise men. Dwayne, how's it going?
I'm good, brother. I'm good, man. I'm just here, man. Trying to support the team best I can, you know. But yeah, it's bloody difficult when we're playing like this.
It's weird. It's like, of course you want to win, but it's like, I've won, but at what cost?
You know what it is? I find it. I don't like going up against people like, oh, support Ollie, support Ollie. I want to support him, bruv, but I'm struggling, man.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Akka, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm feeling fine. I'm doing better. I'm in T3 also. Could be a lot worse.
Back by popular demands. And Stevie, how you doing? We needed four people, so you just happened to be the person who was free this evening. How's it going, mate?
A man, he screamed peace and harmony and he decided to I'm like, come at him. Do you know what? I've got bigger problems than you. I told you, I'm trying to leave the British border. You're small fry. I've got to worry about Boris.
Yeah,
right now,
you're battling international governments, man. You don't need to worry about the likes of me, man. So before we start, I want to talk about our partners, Fanslide. Fanslide is an in-play fantasy type game. Essentially, I played it on the weekend. You played it on the weekend as well, didn't you, Stevie?
So you can't get my name right.
I said Stevie. How am I not?
Temporary pause. But nah. I did play. It was banging. Obviously, you've got the 20-minute segments, and it doesn't matter which segment I had Marshall in. He wasn't going to bang for me anyway.
It's the luck that comes into it. It's like, for me, the only player I actually got them in the perfect position was Dan James. And I just put him in. That's because by that time I was like, okay, everybody at this point is bang. So he's got to like get a goal or get an assist or something.
Bro, and you had more faith than me. trusting in Dan James to bag a goal, boy. That's risky tactics, man. But obviously, nobody would have predicted the start we had. I think our first four goals came within the first 20 minutes. I don't think anyone saw that coming. A brace as well. Cool. I was actually going to back him to get a hat trick, but I thought that might be a bit too extreme. And unfortunately, he didn't. Gave the pen to Bruno. But yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be honest.
Fantastic. So obviously, when I go on there, you're on there, Dan's on there, Lewis is on there. We're all going to be on there. The next game, well, by the time you guys hear this, I'm going to be doing the Chelsea game this evening. The next game that's on there is our game against Leicester, 12:30 on Saturday. So if you're Man United, you're Mugger, Hop onto the fan slide. I'll be on there. Go against each other. See who does better.
I'm going to double down on Martial again. He can't go another game.
On Martial, boy.
Yeah, we'll get into it now. So, let's start with yesterday's game. So, it was a 6-2 win at home against our bitter rivals, Leeds. I'll start with you, Dwayne. What did you think of the performance?
All in all, it was a good performance, but I'm still disappointed because I think we really should be dominating games like that. I know we've come away with a massive scoreline and so forth, but looking at the bigger picture, I think we've got to be going to championship sides like that. We've got to dominate the game. And I think to come away with having less possession to someone like Leeds, I'm not happy about it, man. I know we got a big win. And it was a good performance from a lot of the lads, especially McTominay, who was outstanding. If he could play like that weekly, mate, he'd be on stuff. Fred, we won by a massive margin. He still didn't really do much. I just gone off of him, man. Gone off of him. Like, I backed him while everyone was dissing him, and I've just gone off of him, man.
You see, for me, yeah, my thing was, I said in the Mugga chat a few days before that he was going to score because he's a chaos man. Like, this is what I tell you lot. That's the only time he's actually useful. So I was thinking he'd have a solid game, you know, win the ball high up, start counterattacks and stuff. But he just wasn't on it. It was the worst sides of Fred. So, like, the poor touch, the poor positional awareness, being dominated physically, not finding teammates with his passes. It was not really good. Wow, somebody in the comments saying Fred was good yesterday.
No, okay. Mikey.
I don't agree at all, man.
It wasn't that bad. I don't think it was that bad. I mean, I wouldn't say
That bad, but it's just like you're winning that by that margin. You should be having a good game.
Yeah.
It's in a 6-2 drum and don't really smash it. Like, what kind of game did you have?
The thing is, you have to look at the team we were playing, and obviously it's a criticism of Fred because he's not very press resistant. He doesn't like it when you get swarmed. And if you look at Leeds off the ball, they swarm you when they're the ball.
For that reason,
he was always going to struggle. But
this is what surprised me. Why start him? You knew he can't play. He can't play under pressure.
No, but he has to play, though, because if you look at Leeds, they run about 90 kilometres a game. They're the fittest team in the league. And Ole said it, and Lampard said it when they beat him. You have to run. You have to outrun Leeds. So if you're going to outrun Leeds, you've got to play Fred and McTominay.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, like yesterday it was 73% pass completion, lost possession about 15 times. He wasn't dribbled past any times. He made 5 tackles, blocked some shots, made an interception. Yeah, he was okay, but he wasn't as good on the ball as we'd like.
73% of sideways passes, that should be at least 90%.
From central midfield against a team that will come to be better than.
The thing with Fred is that obviously we know Fred's got limitations in it, and we know all of our midfield have limitations. But to Aka's point, if we don't play Fred in that game, I'm not sure we lose. We win because we don't have another midfield player who's gonna run and cover as much distance as Fred, and there's as much as what he does off the ball for our team as compared to what he does on the ball. So I know, like, he's a bit sloppy in possession and he makes a bad decision occasionally, but that boy is actually crucial to our team. So, yeah, man, I feel like we just need to pay him a bit more respect.
In some games, perhaps. I think that was actually, for me, a game that I expected him to do well, and I wasn't necessarily surprised when Pogba didn't start. But he didn't do as well as I thought he would do. Those sorts of games I've seen him do better in the past. So, Aka, McTominay, you got Seb in the comments just being quite embarrassing, to be honest. So I'll ignore Seb and I'll come to you. Let's talk about McTominay's performance yesterday. What were your thoughts?
I've always said it in all my chats and anyone I speak to. He's got the physique and the athleticism to do that more times than he doesn't. The thing with him is he gets bogged down too often, whereas I think yesterday Ole gave him a role to actually get a bit further up the field. And if you watch McTominay when he runs, he's such a unit and he's such a presence. He can't be stopped when he opens his stride up. I think he's 6'4", 6'5". He's naturally got a bigger stride. So, you know, when he starts dribbling with the ball, he can't be stopped. I like McTominay personally. I think he's here to stay as a squad player. He will keep maturing. If you look at McTominay from 2 years ago to the McTominay we saw yesterday, You know, he's come on leaps and bounds for me, and he's only going to get better. He's the type of player that reminds me of, like, your Carrick, Henderson, Fletchers. They get better gradually. They keep pushing on. They learn the trade. I think by the mid to late 20s, McTominay will be a very good and appreciated player by that point.
I like him as well.
Sorry?
I like him as well.
Yeah, he's from the academy. He speaks well. He's grown into his body now. He's a fully grown man. He's playing week in, week out. He's improving. He's going to be a very good player for the next 3-4 years. It's going to take time. You're going to have bumps across the road because as good as he is as a presence and athletically, he is lacking technically and he is lacking in his reading of the game and when to do certain things. But I think that comes with age. Playing centre midfield for Man United at 23 isn't easy. I mean, all you've got to do is ask Paul Pogba about that and he'll tell you.
There we go. Yeah. That's Pogba jab number one. Continue.
I'm with that, to be honest. I think for me, and I think it was evidence yesterday, like we've been trying to play McTominay as a defensive midfielder. But for me, he's more box to box. He's impressive once he gets into his stride. We've seen over the last few seasons as well, in and around the box. The guy's got a good strike of him. He's capable of getting goals for our side as well. I think the problem is where it's McFred or McSauce together. It's like those two together are very devoid of what we need in terms of bringing the ball forward. And I think he does make a lot of sideways passes and perhaps he's not looking to break the lines enough. But if he's in a 4-3-3 where we've got a very competent DM and we've got one of either Bruno or Pogba, I can't see why he can't be a mainstay in our side. But I think he's caught a lot of criticism and even criticism from me as well in games where we've been too passive and we haven't had anyone creative. So I'd just be looking for him to improve like his passing ability. And hopefully with Carrick there, maybe he'll be able to find that and get that in the locker.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I want to talk about talk about a few individual performances and get you guys' opinions going forward. So I'll start with Anthony Martial. You mentioned him, Stevie, due to fan slide and everything else in between. Listen, we've been talking about him all season because he hasn't really picked up where he left off last season, but I think that was quite comfortably his best performance of the season so far. Had two good chances, unfortunately didn't put either of those away. But how happy were we, Dwayne, to see Martial come out and actually put together a good 90 minutes performance?
The situation with Martial is confusing because Martial is someone I've liked for years. I've backed him when he once slayed him. And one thing I've always impressed me with Anthony is that his finishing has always been, he's always been composed in front of goal. If he goes through on goal, I'm confident he's going to score generally. Like in comparison to Rashford, I always put my money on Martial. But this season, it's almost like, first I thought it was just a confidence thing, but now I actually don't know what it is. Like yesterday, he was brilliant in every aspect of the word until it got to his finishing. Like his link-up play was good. He dropped off. He picked up the ball well. He done everything he needed to do yesterday except score. And they weren't even difficult chances. There were chances you expect him to take in his sleep. I don't know what's gone on. And I'm hoping it's a confidence issue that he can address. Because for me, it was a brilliant performance yesterday from Martial. I think a lot of people probably underestimated what he did. Like I think he was involved in all about 3 or 4 goals yesterday. Got 2 assists, even a penalty. Yeah, but he was top draw yesterday, man.
2 assists, won the penalty. Even the one for Bruno's where he didn't win the penalty. It was him in the box and Ayling tackled it. And it came back to Bruno and Bruno finished it. So he did the usual things that we associate him with. So good back-to-goal game, good hold-up play, good link-up play. But I need to see him start filling his boots now, man. I think we were saying in the Mugger chat today, like I would have much rather like he played all right and he got a hat-trick. Because I already know he's a good footballer. I need to know that you can bag the goals for us. Another player I wanted to speak to you guys about their performance yesterday was Victor Lindelof. So I think he's had a good month, and it was great seeing him score yesterday. It was kind of like a reward for his consistency over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 performances. But Aka, what were your thoughts on his performance yesterday? Because we did win, but we did concede 2 goals, and at times they did get through and probably should have scored more.
I'm a big fan of Lindelof, firstly. I think he's better than Maguire. I think he's, on the whole, a very solid player. If you get 10 games from Lindelof, he'll play about 7 or 8 of them solid. Yes, it might not be the level at United. We want to be at a higher level, but I don't think he's a problem. I've always liked him. He's good on the ball. I think there is a weakness in his game that's aerially, and we thought getting Maguire in would sort of complement each other, but the issue is the lack of pace between the pair of them. But I like Lindelof. He's got a lot of good qualities, and he's definitely one we should keep in the team, I think. Yesterday, it was a bit of a funny game. Like I said, I think we were talking before we went live. Leeds are a funny team. I think yesterday the aim was just outscore them. You know, they're going to come at us. We're going to go at them. It's not like, I think Dwayne was saying he wanted more possession football, but I think with playing against Leeds, the aim was just to get the win. It's a rival as well. You know, it's sort of like a derby. It's not a derby, but well, it's a Roses derby, they call it. But yeah, I like Lindelof, and I think he's quietly having a good season yet again.
You're kidding?
What?
You think he's having a good season?
I think Lindelof.
Okay, all right, Dwayne. Yeah, go on. I didn't think we were gonna get more.
A good season. Do you know what goals we can see weekly? Like, he's not having a good season. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's whack, but as a central defender, he lacks too many things. He's very good on the ball. He's slow. He can't hit up.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. He's weak. He's slow, but he doesn't get beaten. When was the last time he got a dribble
pass? I'm not saying 100%. I know, because I don't. But he doesn't get beat as often as Maguire. But I don't think...
He is slow, but I think he reads the game to a decent extent, so you never see him getting run past, or you know, yes,
I'm not dissing him because I actually like him. He's decent, but I wouldn't go as far as saying he's having a good season. I think it's, how do you get to say one of our defenders are having a good season when we concede so many goals?
I'm with Akib here. I think defensively, obviously, defending is more than just the four individual defenders, but I think if we look at our personnel in the back four, I think Lindelof, to a large extent, has probably been the most consistent performer, and even passing out from the back as well. I thought he's brought a lot to us this season. We know his physical limitations, but in terms of like clear on errors leading to goals, I can't really fault Lindelof. And to Aka's point, generally when we've had attackers that have been a handful, I think Lindelof has marshalled them pretty well. I think he reads the game well. Sometimes I think he doesn't quite sense danger as well as I'd like him to, but generally I think he's a competent defender. I think we've been crying out for someone a bit more physical and pacey to partner him. I think if we had that, I'd be pretty content.
Yeah, and I think I said that in the group. I think both of them, with a different player next to them, would look completely different. But we don't have that. We just got them to, and it's horrible to watch at times, because I don't go into any games thinking, well, we're going to get a clean sheet here. At no point.
Yeah, I think as a pairing, they don't help each other. But I think individually, paired with someone else, one of them would, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that 100%.
Keep both of them in the squad, and then go get another elite centre. And then you've got a really good crop of centre backs then, because you've got Tuan Zebe as well.
He's one I want to see him play, man.
Him I can't say fit. I mean, I think it was last week, midweek against who did we play in the midweek?
Sheffield United
midweek. Him and Bailly were injured, and he said they'd be fit by this game. I like to see them against Everton in midweek, but we'll get to that. But Tuan Zebe's got great attributes, man. He's big, he's mobile, he's comfortable on the ball. He's I understood that when he was younger, like getting beat in the air was a bit of a weakness for him, but he did his year at Villa and they really, really wanted to keep him. So I'd like to see him get a run, because if we could avoid having to spend another 50-60 million on a top defender, and we could bring somebody through the academy, I'd love that. He was great against PSG, and even same way with McTominay. These guys, these academy boys, because they've kind of come up through the club, and a lot of them would have been here for 10, 15 years or so, they've seen the glory days. So to them, Man United's success is not just, oh, I'm a foreign guy who's come from Brazil or from France or from Portugal. Like, I lived it. I was here for that. I saw Beckham. I saw Rooney. I saw Ronaldo. I saw Scholes. I saw Carrick, et cetera, et cetera. So to them, it means more. So I definitely want to see more of him. Bailly, I've given up on. I just don't think, and it's not, no knock on him. I just don't think that his body can stand up to it.
He can't.
Yeah, I don't think his body can stand up to it personally. So, yeah, for me, Lindelof, he's been solid for Lindelof, but I think his weaknesses are the weaknesses that will always mean that we're in trouble. And their weaknesses as a pairing affect the rest of the team going forward. Because of how poor they are physically, at times their poor reading of the game as well, it means that we definitely always have to have a McTominay or a Fred in front of them to constantly... A midfielder who's there basically, or two midfielders who are there constantly because they have to look after the guys behind them. And then it means that necessarily in some games, you're not going to play a footballer like Paul Pogba because he doesn't do the defensive work. And I think that, again, is something we discussed in the chat during the week, Dwayne, and how the team isn't necessarily set up. And they're part of that problem. So Dwayne's not having him too much. Aka and Stevie, they've been happy with their contributions this season so far.
You see, with the defensive, yeah, don't you find that, especially this season, I find that Wan-Bissaka's not having a good season, yeah? But I'm finding that he tucks in a lot to cover the central defenders. Like, his positional sense is that he's been ordered to tuck in.
He does that, yeah? And then the problem is, he always leaves so much space out there for the wide man. Right. And if that's
because them men are not competent.
If that's the instruction he's been given, that's mad to me. Because we're always struggling to block that pass across the face of goal. Like, Maguire always seems to let them go past. And at this point, I think it's his his lack of physicality. Like, to us, it looks close enough for him to get there. But for him and them heavy mud feet, he just can't. So, go on, TV.
Yeah, I just think that's more an Aaron Wan-Bissaka problem, because even when he is tucking in, I'm not exactly sure what he's covering. He doesn't seem to be picking up men or smelling danger at all. So and a lot of the time, he's not even looking behind him. So I think it's more a him problem than it is actual dedicated instructions.
It's laziness / arrogance, because he's such a good defender one-on-one and he's got good recovery. I think he just switches off and he thinks, oh, I'll make up for it. I'll get back there and I'll do it. But at the highest level, the wingers will punish him.
Damn right.
But I think he needs to sort of be more switched on. I can't believe that's the tactic for him to tuck in. I think that's the Wan-Bissaka problem, 100%.
I think so as well. We'll see how that plays out. So before we go back and talk about the Sheffield United performance, let's look at the table. So we're 13 games in for us, 14 games in for the teams that have played the most games. We're third with 26 points. We've got a +7 goal difference, and we've got a game in hand, which is against Burnley, who won today, by the way. Are any of you taking this team and Ollie seriously? I'll start with you, Stevie.
It's hard to say. I would say that, like, there's a lot of mitigating factors. If I look at it plainly, I think we're about 8 points up on what we were last season. So clearly we've improved. Clearly we're showing signs of gelling together. And I think we've done reasonably well since the first few games where we didn't have a pre-season. And considering we're playing without Pogba for the majority of the games, in terms of our points tally, I'm pretty impressed. What I would say, though, is we still see the massive inconsistency that we always have. Like I say, I can't remember the last time I've seen us string together three league wins on the trot. We're out of the Champions League. That was disappointing. And we've had some really disappointing performances over the course of the season. So it's ups and downs. But then relative as well to the other teams in the Premier League, the quality of the Premier League this season, and to be honest, the quality of football is much lower than we're used to seeing. So relative to the other teams, I don't think we're doing too badly. But I think my main concern in us sort of launching a proper title challenge and actually trying to compete is that whatever game it is, we are conceding way too many chances in open play, and the opponents always look like they can get past us. And yesterday was a really good result. We scored 6, but it's not going to be that easy to score that many goals in many matches, and we still conceded 2, which I think, granted, it's Leeds, they attack, but we look like we're going to concede in hella goals in every match. So yeah, defense just really really needs to be tightened. If we can do something in January, then I think it'd be a massive help.
Mm-hmm. You've been a vocal detractor of Oli, Dwayne. very vocal. We have, Stevie's mentioned that we do concede a lot of chances, but when you compare our performances to teams like City, who were supposedly better than us, Chelsea, who's supposedly better than us, he's outperforming these managers, and he's done better than he's did at this time last season with a poor start, with players coming back a bit sloppy. Is it time for you to maybe give him a bit more credit? When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard, last and tan. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard, last and tan. No, see, you're saying with a poor start. Poor start, he's got to take responsibility for that. So we can't stay with that. Like, it wasn't him. That's him, isn't it? That's his responsibility. So my thing is, you got to understand, it's not like I dislike Oli. From the moment he was given the job, I said he can do top four. And if we're going to be happy with top four, then Oli's the man for the job. But if we want something more, then someone's got to make a brave decision and say, while we're doing this well with results, it's time to get a proper coaching. It's been in there 2 years, and I still don't know what the plan is. We play off the cuff weekly. Like, the man just turn up at the AstroTurf and they just go with it. That's not how football goes, man. You've got to go out there with a plan every week. I should know what the plan is going to be, man, and I just don't. So for me, if we're happy with top four, then leave Oli, let him do his thing. But if you want to win titles, Oli is not that guy, man. You can clearly see he's not a tactician. He's not a coach. What is he?
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate. Obviously, he's brought in Dan James because he's thought, you know, they like to go one-on-one all over the pitch. I know Dan James, while not being the best footballer, is very, very quick. So he can beat his fullback. They're gonna press and they're gonna pass and they're gonna move. So I'm gonna take out Paul Pogba, who's arguably our best footballer. I think most people say he's our best footballer. I'm gonna bring in Fred. I'm gonna bring in McTominay. Isn't that him showing that he is flexible and he's adaptable? He's used multiple formations this season as well.
That's showing you the same thing. That's his best tactic, bruv. Play counter-attacking football. That's it. Outside of that, what do you know that he does? Give me another tactic that he works with.
And you that's think, yeah. Part of my devil's advocacy. I got nothing left.
Oh, mate. Counter-attacking is all he does, bruv. And that's, we can't be a big-ass club and that's what we're doing. Because when you come against a smaller club, you can't do that. And I think Floyd Hasselbank yesterday was spot on. King was talking about a title challenge. You can't be title challenged if you can't dominate games. We are going to come unstuck unless we get it together. And I'm not saying we can't get it together, but something's got to give. His arrogance here, or his naivety of getting rid of the back room and having an old brand new, that's what's killing him. Because if he had some experience around him to help him put a plan in, this wouldn't be happening.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't know where the lines are drawn these days between first team coach and manager, but if Solskjaer needs some help, then to me, it just seems like McKenna and Carrick are not capable of providing the patterns of play, the instructions to players that we need to give so that they can go out and have a clear plan. In terms of like his in-game management, his strategies to start off games and so on and so forth, I think he might be able to get away with doing something if we had good enough coaches. But the two of them as a pairing, yeah, I agree with Dwayne. We can't win titles like that. So, boy, something has to give, but it's United, so we know it won't.
Cool. So, Stevie, you mentioned that we conceded a lot of goals and the lack of control means that our method of playing isn't necessarily sustainable and isn't conducive to long-term success. Aka, I'm going to talk to you about our midweek game. So it was a 3-2 win away from home against bottom of the table, Sheffield United. that was a team that we beat very comfortably the other side of the break. What were your thoughts about that performance? Was it, again, one of those games where we just needed to get the points, or were you looking to see a bit more than what you got?
At the minute, with the fixture pile-up and the way we're playing, it's just our position in the league, it's just win. Even yesterday, I was saying, I don't care about the performance, just keep winning. However, the performances are a bit worrying. Sheffield United was a worrying performance because I think they scored 4 goals from open play all season before they played us, and they got 2 against us. So that's worrying. All right, there's a keeper error in there, and there's a bit of shoddy defending on the second goal. In parts, though, we looked electric. So on the counter, we look really good. And like Dwayne said, that is our tactic. Sadly, it's counter-attack football. That's why we've won 10 in a row on the road. And that's why we struggle at home, because teams sit on the deeper block against us at home. We need more tactics. Top 4 is as good as it's going to be for Ole, sadly. I would love to sit here and say I would love to see Ole win the league, and I would. But he isn't. Even yesterday, I'll tell you why we're not going to win the league. Because yesterday, 4-1 up, I was still bricking myself, thinking this could be 4-4 at any point.
I was like, if it gets to 4-2, it's long now.
I was sat stiff in my seat. I was thinking, if they get one more, it's that's it.
We're waiting for a game. Yeah.
We haven't got the heart or the stomach to go in a title race. My aim is strictly top 4 this year. With the window we had as well, I think we can't expect more than top 4. We should have backed him a lot more. January will be interesting. If we're serious, which we're not, and I know we're not, but I've got to play devil's advocate. If we're serious, we go out and buy a centre-back and a centre-midfielder, experienced, established players, and we go for the title, but we're not. So top 4 will be as good as it gets.
Yeah, you mentioned. Go on, Dwayne.
You say go out and buy a centre-midfielder. Are you looking to sacrifice here?
At home, basically, he's lost all faith in Maguire and Lindelof since... I know Lindelof didn't play...
The midfielder,
So if you look at home, because of the 6-1 Spurs, he's lost all faith in defence and the way the system was exploited. So what he does now, he plays Fred and McTominay to protect the back two, the centre-backs, yeah? Fred and McTominay, because of that, we have to sacrifice going forward. So we're quite limited at home going forward. Away from home, we can get away with it with a counter. So if you go get a good centre midfielder, Matic is a good player, but his legs have gone. So if you can get someone in the profile of Matic with legs who can patrol the back four, cover the space, like Fred, but Fred's a bit too rash, then you can play a Pogba next to Bruno or a Van der Beek next to Bruno, and you're going to win a couple of games at home.
A party, basically.
We should have. I don't know what they're doing in the relegation battle.
Flair that we just watched go to Arsenal.
That one is bizarre. That one, we know we didn't even need any negotiation, which we know we're terrible at doing. Just send the money to La Liga and it would have been done. But
simple. But we digress. Cool. So I want to now, we've talked about the current, we talked about the past. Now I want to look forward, talk about our next 5 games, because as I said on the main pod, and I kind of stand by it, that once we get to 20 points or so, we'll know where we stand. I think I agree with you guys in the sense that top 4 is the goal. And I think where you've got about 6 teams who are genuinely going for it.
Is it just me? Or
We lost Mariah.
So mad thing. he needs to get his ball band up, man.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah,
did you hear all my talking there?
No, man,
that was some of the best shit I've ever said. Anyway, I was saying on the main pod yesterday that we won't really see where we stand until we're about 20 games into the league. So I wanted to go through our next 5 or 6 league games just to discuss what we're expecting from our team and where we end up being, because as much as we say top 4 is the goal, we've got about 6 teams who are genuinely competing for that top 4 slot. And there's going to be a top side or two who doesn't end up going into the Champions League next season. So our next game is the 12:30 this Saturday against Leicester City. How would you guys like to see us line up? And what are you expecting?
Sorry, can I just... Mara, my phone's on a cut-off. It's on 2% here and it's not charging.
That's so you're just doing a reverse version of me, yeah? it's cool, bro. It's cool. If you're gone, you're gone. I think. Yeah, no worries, man.
Right,
man. Calm. So yeah. So we've got the 12:30 against Leicester. And since you're still here, Dwayne, I'll get your opinion first. How would you like to see us go up against Leicester? And what are you expecting from that one?
What I'm expecting is for him to do exactly what he done against Leeds, allow them to have the ball, and hope that they press us. But they do exactly the same thing. So I'm not sure how that's going to pan out, because Leicester are not going to want to come and push on to us. They're going to want to play counter-attacking football, as that's what they like to do. So I don't know what the plan. But I would like to see him have a go, put a Fred or a McSauce in by themselves, and then play Pogba and Bruno. But I just can't see it happening, mate. I want to see Greenwood given enough opportunity centrally. I'm not going to lie, I'm getting tired of seeing him out wide. I don't think he's a winger. And I know he had a good season last season, but I think this season you're seeing he just tucks in and he just wants to hit it. It doesn't matter what's next to him, he just wants to hit it. Because that's his natural game. And I respect it because I'm a striker, so I understand that. Like, even during the game the other day, he was there and it was two lined up. He could have just slotted, man. He just lashed it because he naturally wants to do that. So all he's got to see that and just say, you know, play centrally. Martial's had he's had a run up front. He's not doing it. Go out wide or sit the bench. One of the two.
What my thing is with him as well, just since you mentioned Greenwood, why doesn't he use his right foot as much anymore?
Because he's
having, like, I don't get it. Like, we know that he can strike it well with his right foot.
Mm-hmm. The reason why he's not is because he's not centered. He's on the right, so he's cutting in and he's on his left, isn't it? If you put him centrally, yeah, then he can go either foot.
My thing is that once everybody's basically doubling up on his left foot, so I'm not scared of Wan-Bissaka because he's not going to do nothing. So he can have that far right hand side. The left back tucks in. The centre back can stay where he is, nice and tight. He's going to come in on his left foot. When he's in the box and he's got the option of still being able to go either way, he goes for his left foot every single time. And it's like, I know you can finish with your right foot. I've seen your goals at the youth level and I've seen your goals at this level. So I'm surprised as to why he's not using his right foot as much as he has in the past.
It's the angle, I think. So I think Dwayne's right, because he's on the right. He's only got a certain angle he can hit the ball at from his right foot. Whereas if he goes centrally, you'll see him use his right a lot more and you'll see a lot more shifting onto each foot. Whereas I think the angle is very hard from the outside right. Because if you look at football, modern day football, everyone plays wingers, you know. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
They play wingers that cut back in onto their stronger foot. That's just the way it goes in football nowadays. So it's going to be very hard for him from the right to hit that angle. But if he plays centrally, and as you've seen in youth football, when he did, Mariah, you said, you'll see him use his right a lot more. Because he's got an angle then to go. He can go, you know, far post, near post. He can off both feet then.
Yeah, agreed. That's a good point. Would you be confident with him? Would you be confident with him playing centrally? And he did well against West Ham. I was impressed. But at the back, Leicester have got Johnny Evans and Fofana, who's been a revelation since he's come in. Would we want to put Greenwood up against that caliber of defender?
I think with Greenwood, he's still got a lot of growing to do physically. I know he's grown a lot in the past year, but in the Premier League, you're up against like real physical specimens. And I think what we saw last season with, I think it was 17 odd goals or so and double figures in the Premier League, is I almost feel like you get a grace period in the Premier League in the first season where teams don't quite know or haven't quite figured out your strengths. And so in the first few games or so, perhaps they're not as attuned to what you can do as they later are. I think now we obviously know that Greenwood's one of the most lethal strikers in the Premier League, and physically he's not quite at it. So I think teams have kind of sussed him out. They're not giving him as much space, as much room, as much options. So to be honest, I wouldn't have him starting at the minute as one of our strikers. I might have him coming off the bench.
Ben James to start against Leicester, yeah?
No, I'd have Cavani. I'd have Cavani before he gets suspended, so we can
yeah, with that.
Pardon?
I was like, yeah, it's true. I forgot about that. Good
point,
man.
Yeah. Cavani before he gets suspended, and then I'd have Martial on the left, and then Rashford on the right.
Yeah, okay, cool. Rashford, What did we think of his performance against Leeds?
I thought it was brilliant. I think he's getting much, much better as a player. I mean, I wasn't his biggest fan, and I've been a harsh critic of his, but I've become a believer now. I think this guy in the next 18 to 24 months, and I'm going to choose my words carefully because I don't know if Stevie remembers. I said this about Martial in June, and he's only scored one goal since. But I think Rashford's going to hit some crazy heights in the next 2 years. Yesterday, he just looked like he was playing in the park, and he was pulling their pants down. Like, they couldn't get close to him. Like, he was dropping his shoulder. They were on the floor, and he deserved a goal. He didn't get it. But I think Rashford's going to really, really, really kick on now. I think he's got past his injuries and his little malaise, and he's going to have a really good season. Well, he is having a good season.
Physically, he looks great. He's got his burst back. He's taking guys off the dribble. He's shifting. He's going through their feet. I think, like you say, I think this the final part for him to become a top player is him just to be better with his decision making.
Yeah.
And be better with his decision making and his finishing. And the weird thing about his finishing is the fact that he's actually a good finisher. So it is that finishing, even again, that comes into his decision making. Which finish are you deciding to use in which situations? But yeah, he looks like he's ready to put the attack on his back and carry us as far as we can go. Perfect timing for you, Timmy. We were talking about a title challenge. Nobody here is particularly positive about it, but you've been extremely vocal about it in the Mugga chat.
Bro, I'm not going to lie to you, fam. My thing's bugging out. Wait, say that again.
Can you hear us?
No, it's still bugging out, man.
Can you... All right, somebody else talk.
Let me just mute myself, innit? And then...
Okay. Well, it's you specifically I'm asking for here. So let's hope this is not him bottling it.
Oh, no. We're good.
I said bottling it.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, because I'm on my phone, innit? And before I came into the space, it literally said that it's going to crackle for a while, but it should fix itself.
Okay.
So I was just waiting for that to stop. So I didn't hear the intro, bro. I'm sorry I'm late, man.
No, that's fine. So you can see the band at the bottom. Is it time to take ourselves seriously? Obviously, we've been discussing before you got here, myself, Akka, Stevie and Dwayne when he was here. We weren't particularly of the opinion that we see this team launching a genuine title challenge, very much seen as a top four side. And like over the next half a dozen games or so, that would kind of prove itself. But you've kind of maintained, even when we started really poorly, you've maintained that you think we're going to win the title, or at least be title challengers. So yeah, break it down for us and break it down for our listeners. Let's get it on recording so we can
let's go
this at some point.
What are we saying? How many league games have we had since Arsenal? 7 league games since Arsenal. Yeah, what's that? 19 out of 21 points.
6 wins, 1 draw.
I think that's what, 4 away wins.
We beat Everton away, we beat Southampton away, we beat West Ham away, and we beat Sheffield United away.
All of them from losing positions.
Yeah.
Our two home games was a 0-0 draw against City, which majority would have had us to lose anyway, and a 6-2 win against Leeds.
And a 1-0 against West Brom as well.
And the 1-0 against West Brom. We won't speak on that because that was poor. But but the 6-2 against Leeds, and I'm sure everyone thought that Leeds was going to give us a problem. We just bashed them up real quick. But I'm not going to lie to you. At the beginning of the season, when I said that we'll mount a title challenge, or I actually said we'll win the league, I said it with the thoughts that basically this year's just basically going to be an anomaly, innit? And that anything can happen because of COVID and everything that's going on in the world at the moment. No fans in that. Obviously, I looked at City's form dip in the quote-unquote bubble at the end of last season. Liverpool's form also dipped in that time. Obviously, they had the league wrapped up. And for the better part, we stayed pretty consistent all throughout those final 9 games. And this season, like at the beginning, it was more hope than anything else. I was like, oh, fam, this is COVID. Bear guys are just going to go down with COVID. They're going to be out for 2 weeks. It's just not going to be the same. So why can't we go out and do something? And I said it in July. I said if we come up with a better big game record, if we come up with a better big game record than we did last season, then we'll be close. But what seems like it's happening is the opposite. We're putting the teams that we're supposed to beat to the sword, and our big game record isn't great. I'm not too angry with that. I mean, a lot of people are going to say that we're not going to win the league and that, but I like what I'm seeing in terms of the fact that we're getting results. We're getting results, and we haven't been playing well. So once we start playing football that I know we can play, and the results are rolling in, then it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to stop us. I'm telling you, Liverpool in January. Listen, if we beat them, you lot aren't even going to be able to keep quiet, bruv. Because we're beating Leicester. I'm on record.
No, let's not. Wait, hold on. Let's not. We're going to go through the games one by one.
I'm on record as saying by New Year we're going to be second.
Okay. So Leicester game, Aka, you were giving your perspective on that game, and Stevie. So I'll add your perspectives as well, Timmy. So how would you like to see us approach that game, and what are you expecting?
It's funny because we're going to set up with a counter attack, and I think when we went there last day of the season last year, both teams didn't really want to attack, but it was okay for us. We only needed a point, whereas this time we need if we're serious about a title.
Nah, can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. So last year we went to King Power. We needed a draw, so we were happy to sit back. This year, if we want to be serious about winning the title, we've got to go and win. Now, I can't see Leicester coming on to us for us to count on them. The only way we're going to win is through individual brilliance. And I'm going to say it probably will be a penalty like last year. So a bit of magic in the box, in and around. Martial, Greenwood, something along them lines. Or a Cavani just throwing his head at something. And we can hopefully take 3 points. If we take the 3 points, it's what we want, man. We want to be second by New Year, like Timmy said. And we want to just keep winning at this moment. I don't care how we do it. Hook or crook, just win.
All right, stick talk, yeah. What are your thoughts, Timmy?
Leicester don't really trouble us, to be honest. I mean, in the past, like, 3 years that we've played them, I don't think we've lost to them once.
Let me check. Let me pull up the old head-to-head. Now, so,
last year, 2-0. Year before, at King Power.
We won 2-0 at King Power.
1-0 at Old Trafford, 1-0 at King Power, 2-1 at Old Trafford, 2-2 at King Power, and 2-0 at Old Trafford. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. they ain't slapping us. Hold on. Didn't 2 seasons ago we beat them?
Yeah, that's what I said.
We beat them. Because Rashford scored that brazy goal.
1-0, yeah.
We done the double over them last season, and the season before, didn't Rashford score that brazy goal? And
we've done the double over them the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you come back the third season, yeah, since that 5-3, we ain't lost to them at home, bruv. We ain't lost to them at all, bruv. Listen, Leicester are good, but guys need to slow down, man.
They're hot and cold as well. So they've won 9.
Exactly.
They've lost 5.
Like, they perform better away from home against better teams. Like, so against, like, their win against Tottenham yesterday and their 5-2 against City and games like that. I fully expect us to just beat them. Like, probably won't be the prettiest performance. Probably won't be anything that we're gonna ramble on about. But I just think we're gonna beat them, bruv. That's just it. They're just not like, that good, man.
Are they playing midweek?
In the League Cup, I don't think so.
Everton knocked them out. I think Everton might have knocked them out.
Yeah, I don't think they're so. They'll be well rested. They'll be well up for that one. Next game after that is at home against Wolves. Stevie, what are your thoughts about that one?
Yeah, Wolves has been a bit of a contentious one for us in the last few seasons. They seem to be a bit of a jammy team for us. And obviously, they're one of those teams who, like, typically we've really struggled against because they tend to sit back and hope that we come onto them. And when we do, and we've lacked creativity, we've been unable to score many. And then they go other end, and then pack us away. It's typically been quite cagey affairs, and they might score one or two. So I think this season, the difference is, to me, Wolves look more inconsistent. They've lost Doherty. They've lost Jota. And... what do you call it? Have I forgotten his name? Jimenez is not going to be back at all. So I think that's three key players that they perhaps had last season that would have caused us problems that won't this side this time round. And obviously we've got Bruno now. So via a penalty or via his magic, I think we can break past Wolves and I think we should beat them. I think to me, Leicester will probably seem to be more of a danger than Wolves. So I'd expect us perhaps not to win against Leicester. I don't know if we'll lose, but I'd say we won't win against Leicester and then pack Wolves away. And that's also because I've never seen us win three league games under Oli. So yeah, I think it's going to be hard to see us do that now.
Didn't we win three in a row before City?
You won four in a row before City, man.
Bro, oh, what mad. Are you on about?
Yeah. Mad.
Yeah, and then we just Stevie, you're doing it again, mate.
Mad, I'm not even clocking the thing. I'm not even clocking the thing.
Stevie's too funny, bro.
Yeah, funny guy. Thousands of people listen to your football opinion. This is what you're serving them up.
Mariah, you want to go again?
There's nothing it's to harmony, bro. You did it. You're threatening me for your misdemeanors.
No. Fair play.
Stevie, you don't want another L, fam.
I said fair play.
Cool, fam. Peace
and harmony.
Fair play. What do you mean?
Stevie, anyway. It weren't pretty last week.
Aka, Timmy. Looking ahead to the Wolves game at home, what are you guys' thoughts? Do you agree with Stevie, or do you see things perhaps going a bit differently? Because you know they've got no interest in attacking really, so they're more than happy to see out a 0-0.
We have to win that game if you want to be Titan challengers. You've got to look at Liverpool as the favourites. In the last 25 league games, Liverpool have only had one draw at home. They've won the rest. The only reason we're close to Liverpool is because we're doing what they do at home. We're doing it on the road. If you want to win the title, you're going to have to win these games. So for me, Leicester, I'll take a point. But Wolves at home, no excuse. I don't care if it's a deep block from them or they make it hard or they stifle us. I want to win. I want to win against Wolves and I want to win against Villa. We need to pick our home form up if we're going to win the league. But I'm just saying that.
We're not going to win the league.
I'm not saying we're going to win the league.
He's starting to believe.
I'm saying.
I'm going on record, we're not going to win the league.
All right, that's cool. Bro, listen, man, know I'm an I told you so merchant. Nobody thinks we're going to do it. I'm going to be in everyone's mentions, bro, when we do, bro.
But Timmy,
I'm going to be in everyone's mentions.
Do you know why, I don't, like, more aside from just our problems, I look at Liverpool now, and they look ominous again. It's not going to be that long before Van Dijk is back in that team. And they have an ability to grind out. It's not even results, it's wins. Like that team, they are so effective. We're not even close to them. We're actually not even close to them. So
we're not close to them.
We're so far away from it, man.
We're not close to them, but Leicester weren't close to City in 2016.
You can't win a title
close to United in 95.
You can't win a title with a bad defense.
Let me put it to you like this. Stranger things have happened. Yeah. A lot stranger things have happened. And like I said, this whole COVID situation, like, it's just, bro, it just looks weird to me. Liverpool lost 7-2 this season, bro. Like,
that's the only loss.
They've started picking up form again, but they still lost 7-2. In what realm did we think?
That's the only loss.
Bro, in what realm did we think they'd lose 7-2 this season? We're 5 points behind them with a game in hand.
Hold on.
We're 5 points behind them with a game in hand, and we've won two games at home out of, what, six this season?
Yeah.
Five or six this season? And we're 5 points behind them with a game in hand. Listen, stranger things have happened. Something is happening. Trust me, something is happening. And
you're an elite vibes, man.
Listen, when you see it, like, bro, and the thing is, it might even be Oli Judge, it might be whatever. It's just that everyone just is, including me, by the way, everyone was just so against Oli that it would just be the ultimate slap in our face for him to just go and shithouse the league, bro. Because no one's going to look at this United team and think it's one of the great Premier League winning sides. Nobody's ever going to think that. But it's not impossible. And with Bruno's production rate, bruv, Bruno's hitting Salah production. Bruno's hitting Salah production. And let me tell you something, Rashford is not far off Mane production.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's not far off Mane production.
He's producing more this year than Mane.
Exactly. So,
and were you saying Martial's given Firmino production?
Hey,
yeah?
No, fam.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah. Martial's gonna come up with some big
listen,
goals.
Listen, hey, as on Martial as I get, I fully expect that there's gonna be a patch in the season where he's gonna hit some serious form. Mm. Don't get me wrong. Mm. We just need it all season.
Yeah,
do
but
you know
Timmy,
what I'm saying?
Timmy, let me ask you: if you look at the maths, if you crunch the numbers, I just can't see us doing it. So we're on 26 points.
Yeah.
For me to win the league this year, you need 85 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying we're going to take 59 points out of the remaining 75? I can't see that.
Why not?
I can't see that.
Why not?
Just look at, like, I'll tell you why not, because Steve doesn't believe we can win three in a row. He's not wrong. I'm not going to lie. He's not wrong on the whole, because winning three in a row is for you, this United team, winning three in a row is an extreme rarity. It's not something we do very often.
Bro, it's a rarity when we didn't have the squad to tackle the rigors of flipping, to tackle the rigors of the league. Now we've got a squad, bro. Look at our bench. Look at our bench yesterday. Pogba, Van de Beek, Cavani, Matic was on there. Who else was on there? Am I forgetting? A Bailly was on there.
Greenwood
was on there. Like, these are players that can come into the starting lineup and do serious bits. They are now sitting on our bench. It's not like last season when it was Lingard, Phil Jones, Rojo, Herrera. Mata, what's his name? Herrera. Who's the other one?
Lingard.
These man there, bro, it's completely different now, yeah? Completely different. As long as we pattern performances against bigger teams going forward into the second half of the season, we're going to be up there. And I said it. We will be up there. Like, the difference between us and first won't be any more than 4 points, 5 points if we don't win it. Maybe six. I'll say six. I'll give it a two-game thing. Yeah? On record. I'm on record. I'm saying it. If anyone wants to get me, if it doesn't happen, cool. But listen, I'd rather put my neck on the line and be able to say ha-ha to all you, man. Fam.
I think, facts. I don't disagree with you in, like, I could see us finishing, I don't know, 6 points behind Liverpool, and I think that would be a real achievement. And I think we are capable of doing that. Whether we do or not is another question. But then there's a big difference also between finishing second, 6 points off Liverpool, and actually going on and doing the damn thing, which I think is, like, there's a massive gap between the two.
We're not
absolutely
ready for it.
Listen, one thing I will say, if we can pattern a centre-back in January...
That's what we were discussing on the pod.
Hey, if we can pattern a centre back in January, listen, something's happening. Trust me.
I think we need a DM as well. Like, if we can do those two,
I believe.
If we can do those two, maybe.
I said that as well. I believe. If we get a centre back and a centre midfielder, I believe. Also,
I even think centre back is the most important. I think centre back is the most important thing. If we just get a centre back, I think that would be enough to take us over the line. I really, really do.
If we get a centre back with the impact of what Bruno had, we'll win the league.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a centre back with Bruno.
We're not going to get Van Dijk level impact. Listen, I just want a centre back. No, but I want a centre back that's just going to keep Maguire and Lindelof on their toes, be able to step in, because, as I said, if one of them goes down to COVID, then it's a bit of a problem. Do you know what I mean? And anything can happen in that sense. Obviously, Bailly can't stay fit, or else I'd be playing him anyway.
Hmm.
But listen, another centre back. Yeah, I already think we'll be close. I think Liverpool are gonna drop off. I really do. Like, they're going to start drawing and losing games that they shouldn't.
Why? Based on what, though?
Timmy, you got to realize...
The thing is, hold on. Based on... They've only just started picking up form this season. Mm. Literally.
Of recent.
They drew with Midtjylland like a week and a half ago. They played a few of the kids, but still played some... They played Salah, they played Trent, they played Keita. Pardon?
Hotter, Diogo Hotter.
Yeah, Hotter played as well. Then Jota played. Like,
I
so
think
they
that's
played
the game we got injured
boys.
In.
Yeah, so they played some big boys, and then I'm sure they drew their next league game. Another 1-1 draw.
Fulham,
yes. Fulham.
Yeah, their away form has been poor this season.
Spurs should have put them to the sword. Spurs should have put them to the sword.
Mm.
They had three great opportunities.
Okay. It's interesting to me. We play poor and we win. We're winning. They play poor and they're winning. They're not playing well. So obviously, I see a bit of rose tinted glasses from your perspective, my brother Timmy.
But they're not winning though.
They are.
Bruv, they just, like I said, they just drew with Fulham. They drew with Midtjylland before.
Yeah, that's
the game doesn't mean anything.
It's fair
that the game doesn't mean anything. But you still expect them to win these games. It's still good for form and good for morale when you win these games.
Timmy, yeah, it's important. We literally saw them at their weakest, yeah, without Trent, who's now come back. They're without Thiago. They're without Van Dijk. And they're currently
Thiago doesn't mean anything because they're without Gomez. Let me land.
They're without Hotta as well. That's four players.
Hotta as well, off the bench. They won the league without him at Canada last year.
All right, are you going to let me land, though?
Land.
All right. That's
the plane's just swerving all over the gaff at the moment.
Am I?
Carry on, bro.
Bring it down, pilot. That are going to get a break. And that's four players that are actually going to be crucial to their side as well. Like, those are all starters. So right now, we're seeing them create what is about a 6-point gap from Spurs, I believe, without their strongest squad. And going into the new year, they're going to have that strong squad. And they know how to win titles. So for you to say they're going to drop off, I don't know if there's...
They know how to win titles, bro. They've won it once.
I'll say one thing, backing Timmy up. And it might play into our hands, is that we're out of the Champions League.
Exactly. That was literally my next point.
Sacks off the Europa League.
And but you know you won't.
Why won't he?
Well,
if he's... We've actually got a squad now.
No, but it's not that.
We can play players in there.
In the past, we haven't sacked off Europa because we've been fifth or sixth in the league. So it's been a ticket to the Champions League. If come February, we're rolling around second and third, 3-4 points behind Liverpool. He's going to sack off the Europa League. He's going to go for the title. And then Liverpool have got big fixtures on a Wednesday and on a Saturday lunchtime. And you've seen what Klopp is like when it's Saturday lunchtime.
Yeah.
And he's crying
also,
like a little bit.
No, but do you know what?
Why they keep getting them Saturday lunchtime? Hold on. Bro. That's a bit
also, like, every team suffers injuries. Obviously, Van Dijk is a huge loss. Trent was out for, 3 weeks? He missed like how many league games? Like 2 or 3 league games?
Yeah.
In which they had adequate replacement in James Milner, who was playing right back two years before he was.
This is amazing.
James Milner is adequate replacement. 10 minutes. Right?
And say, I'm going to out to United. This is outrageous.
Let me finish. Hey, listen, Stevie, just because you've been getting slapped all over the gaff by next man, fam.
Hey, Timmy, you've actually come out with garbage slightly. Today.
Let me finish.
You've come out with garbage today.
Let me land. I let you veer your plane into the mountains. Let me land,
and then you're gonna have to let Stevie speak and not cut him when he's speaking.
Bro,
yeah?
He spoke, fam. No, he spoke and finished.
Do you think land?
Van Dijk, obviously, big miss, hard to replace, definitely. Trent was out for 2 or 3 league games. How many league games was Pogba out for last season? How many league games was Rashford out for last season? How many league games was Martial out for last season? I'm not hearing Trent, and they had adequate replacement in James Milner, who's flipping the multiple time Premier League winner, one of the most experienced Premier League players ever. Are you going to let me land?
Mute yourself,
bro. I'm talking now. Just mute. Anyway, Gomez, good centre back, good centre back, not great. Easily replaceable. You've seen what Fabinho's doing at the moment. He's probably the best centre back in the league at the moment, and he's not even a full centre back, right? Fabinho, Thiago, the third player, he wasn't even in their squad last season. He's played like 2 games for Liverpool. Is he playing 2 games? How many games did he play for Liverpool this season? 2 games? Man, not talking like he's transformed their midfield. He ain't played yet, cuz. So you can't put him in there. Thiago, Diogo Jota. Instant impact off the bench. Great, great, great signing for them. But he's not displacing Mane, Firmino or Salah. And Mane just scored the other day. And Salah's been scoring. So, man, I'm moving like these are integral parts of their starting 11 that have been missing for so long. The only injury that's big is the Van Dijk injury. That's the only one. When we had Pogba out for flipping three quarters of the season, we had Rashford out for three quarters of the season, we had flipping Martial out for a quarter of the season or whatever it is. Who was talking about our injury worries then? Nobody was talking about it. But now it's Liverpool. They're looking for this excuse. I'm not having it, bro. I'm not having it at all. Van Dijk's even back in at flipping Melwood. He looked like nothing happened to him the other day when I saw that. This guy's going to be back in February, bruv.
Stevie, do you have any rebuttal for that?
I just think we've got to label this whole session Timmy's waffle. This is outlandish. Like, I cannot.
He's biting his lip. He wants to jump
in. He wants to jump in. I can see. I am rattled. No. This is ridiculous though, because first of all, yeah, you mentioned Gomez. I didn't even mention Gomez in their list of injuries. You said
yes, Thiago. You did. Let yes, me you hand. Did.
No,
yes,
no,
you did.
No, I said Jota, I said Trent, I said Thiago, and I said Van Dijk. So that's four.
And
so,
you said Gomez.
I didn't say Gomez, but we can go back to the recording if you want to slap some money on it. Let's do it. But yeah, let me land. So,
Steve Vizzle, okay.
No, let's do it.
Five bills.
Okay, let's. Yo,
this is ridiculous, man.
I'm going to the clubs in Ghana, and I am spending that money. I will snap you as I'm doing it.
Are you taking five bills?
Yeah, let's do it.
No.
Hey, give me the value.
I respect that, Stevie. I respect you,
you went all in with the poker chips and you thought I wouldn't.
Yeah, the house
I got
won.
Caught in a bluff. I got caught in a bluff because.
I don't even need to make my point. I think I've been heard. So,
boy. Okay, cool. Yeah, fair enough. So that was only like game two of the half a dozen I wanted to go through. So just the last couple. So then the next game is at home against Aston Villa.
Tough game. Villa play well, man. And they seem to play a lot better away from home against bigger teams. I watched them yesterday and they looked really good, man. I know they was playing West Brom and West Brom went down to 10 early, but they look good, man. Their problem is their lack of a quality striker at the moment, because I do like Ollie Watkins. I think he's a good player. Their lack of a quality striker at the moment is really hindering them. Or else they could literally be a top six, top seven club if they had a proper striker. The recruitment that my man's done, Dean Smith, I think it is, the recruitment he did over the summer, as well as tying down Jack Grealish, who's at the moment probably one of the best players in the league, is really good. Obviously, I'm still going to go for a win because more time it's just individual brilliance and vibes for us anyway. And our individual brilliance is seeing us through. Mr. Bruno, he's just Mr. Inevitable, innit? So he'll probably bag a goal and an assist. Probably bag a penalty as well. They got good fullbacks as well. Man, bro, Aston Villa are good, you know. I'm more worried about Aston Villa than I am Wolves and Leicester. I'll be honest with you. Barkley to come back in as well. They're a good team, man.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. Roscoe. And then the last one I'll go with is on the 17th of January away at Liverpool. yeah. We'll definitely have...
Hey, listen, let me tell you now, yeah. Bro, it has to be United that stopped that home record that they've got. It has to be United that stopped that home record. I promise you. Big Hazard as well.
Like, Timmy's Hazard. Superpowers have come in, yeah, and he's predicting Hazard. The future, bro. Hey,
big Hazard, trust me.
Okay, cool. So, Aka, I haven't heard from you in a while. Apologies, brother.
I'm enjoying the show.
Looking ahead to the game away at Liverpool. I know it's still a few weeks away, but right now, if you were to play, what would your prediction be?
I can't give a prediction right now because it depends on what we do in the next three games before that. So if you look at our last seven games, Ole looked at City and he thought, I'll take a point here and back us to win the other six games. And we've done that. So 19 out of 21 looks good. So if we beat Leicester, we beat Wolves and we beat Villa and we've beaten Leeds, that's 12 out of 12. We then go to Anfield and we're going to park the bus and we're going to try to nick a point and stay in the title race. Maybe nick one on the counter and maybe just somehow shit us a way to win. But it depends on the next three games.
I think realistically... Liverpool haven't lost at Anfield in how long? So realistically, the best we can probably hope for is a draw. I think we can actually get a draw at Anfield. Whether we do or not is another story. But a win is completely out of the question.
If anyone does beat that 66-game record... It's going to be United. United's got history of breaking big records in the Premier League.
Why does everyone think that because a team has this record that is unbreakable all of a sudden?
Also,
what Liverpool are going to win every home game or they're not going to lose at home for the rest of eternity now, yeah?
It's not even that.
No, bro. They're there to be...
I think it's... They've got a better team than us. They're at home. They've proven to be very strong at home. I don't think it's too much of a stretch.
City had a better team than us last season. We pammed them 3 out of 4. Flipping Liverpool got
We haven't played well in big games this season either.
I'll say one thing though. One thing historically, the Liverpool United fixture, it goes in cycles. So you're gonna get, especially Anfield, you get a phase of 2, 3, 4 years where United win or they get a draw or they win. Then you get 3, 4 years where Liverpool win. So if you look at the last 2 years, Liverpool won. The two before that, we drew to them. Historically, if you look at the fixtures at Anfield or at Old Trafford, we're due a win against Liverpool. That's just me speaking from my heart about the two biggest clubs in English football and the way the fixture goes with history. So we are due. Timmy's right. We are due a result at Anfield. But if you look at it on stats-wise and teams-wise, they should smash us up.
Bro, I'm not why is the team that much better than ours, though?
Come on, man.
The fact that they're without Van Dijk, is already huge. But
their defense is probably like without Van Dijk, it's probably like
still better than us. Yeah. But in midfield, I look at their three midfielders, right? I look at their midfield of Henderson, Wijnaldum, and who would be the third?
Curtis Jones
at the moment, yeah. And I look at our midfield, Pogba, Bruno, and McTom, or Pogba, Bruno, Fred. Why can't we take the game to them?
What about the attack, though?
Bruv, we scored more goals than their attack last season. How about that?
Yeah, but we're talking about this season, brother.
But I'm just saying, our three strikers scored more than theirs, right?
None of them are actually firing. None of our strikers are actually firing right now.
And apart from Salah, are any of them really firing?
No, but...
Exactly. Haven't scored in how long before the other day?
Seven games or so.
You know what I mean?
Their attack is better than ours, generally speaking. And it's got more goals. Their team scored more goals than ours this season. So
the thing is, football isn't played on... Their defense is better, our midfield is better, their attack is better, so they should win. They're a much better coached side than us, which is why they are a better team than us.
If we had coaching
on that level, then we'd be as good as they are, right? That's just my opinion. On top of that, I genuinely feel our individual brilliance is a lot better than their individual brilliance. And a lot of the times, these games are going to come down to individual brilliance. And I just sincerely think that we've got our star quality is more than theirs. I think they've got Salah and they've got Mane. Outside those two, I don't see it. I think we've got Rashford. I think we've got Martial. I think we've got Pogba. We've got Bruno. And
if you're counting Martial, you've got to count Firmino as having star quality as well. If you're talking about players coming through, you're talking about Robertson, the best fullback in the league. You're talking about
Trent, an assist machine.
I think they're better than us as a team, but then they're winning individual battles in areas of the pitch as well. That's why I say our defense.
Does Trent win the individual battle against Rashford?
I'm not happy with this regulating of this pod, because when there's when there is cap,
wow,
when there is cap, because when I was on the main touchline pod and I said something, you came to me with the facts and
what
stats.
Did you say?
How are we saying that Liverpool have less star quality than Man United? You know what, Timmy? Yeah, I've clocked. You're just calling it. But bro, when it comes to United,
what did you say?
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
What did you say?
I said, Timmy, you know who, but when it comes to United, your opinion's clouded. Like, Liverpool have far and away more.
Tell me. All right, let's talk about it.
Let's go front to back. So we're starting goal.
No. Because we know 11v11, they're better than us. I'm talking about players with that star quality, players that will turn the game on their head, right? With one individual moment of brilliance, and they do it consistently. Obviously, United are the king of vibes. So every game, we've got someone doing something magical that's winning us games. Okay. Liverpool are a systems team.
No, they've got individual quality. That's
no, cap. I'm not saying... No. I didn't say they don't. But they're a system... Bro, I mentioned Mane, and I mentioned Salah, bro.
Outside of those two,
I'm not, Robertson is the best left back in the world, maybe outside Alphonso Davies. And Trent is quite possibly the best right back in the world. I'm not saying that they're not, but you're not looking at these two as your players with star power.
But they do, though. They consistently have decided games for Liverpool. They have consistently provided moments of quality which have won Liverpool games. I don't think we can deny that over the last 2 years that both of them have done that.
Salah's the biggest
star in
the team.
Especially Trent.
Because with me, when I'm speaking of this star quality, I'm not really looking at things. But do you know what? Fuck it. Have both of them as well. Do you know what? Fuck it. Because if I'm thinking of Pogba, I'm thinking of a pass that's going to lead to a goal. And these men are going to cross the ball and lead to a goal. Fair enough, then.
No, Thiago so you, can find a...
Bro, we can't mention a man that's not playing.
Why not? You keep saying...
Because he's not playing.
He's one of the best midfielders in the world. And you just say,
but he's not playing.
He didn't play last year. So we can't trust him.
Bro, do we even know that he's going to be back for the game?
All right. Will you admit that if he comes back, we're dusted? Do you admit that?
I will never admit that. Back up, boy.
He's on Timmy's neck. Another pod, boy.
Are you mad? I will never ever.
Loves to put his foot on Timmy's neck. Boy.
Nobody's putting their foot on Timmy's neck, fam. Because the thing is, bruh, because at the end of the day, I win always. I always win.
I hope you win.
Start laughing at you, man, again. And, bro, you said it yourself. I told you so, Merchant. When I'm right, fam, nobody has the end of it.
I mean, you go for it. How regularly
nobody
you're
has
right,
the end of it. I'm always right. Fuck it.
But let's finish up with some listeners' questions. So, listeners, those of you who are listening, can we get some questions for the lads on the pod? And while those questions come through. We'll go back to Timmy's unwavering confidence in this match.
Timmy, thank you though. Thank you, because you've actually saved me, yeah. Because when I made that 3 games in a row howler, I thought it was it for me, yeah. But your self implosion has been a mad thing.
Stevie. Whoa. My brother.
An absolute bazine.
My brother. In fact, yeah, come off mute right now.
He's not on mute.
Right, he's in and out. I see him. Come off. Come off mute right now. Fam. All now. Nobody has told me that Liverpool have more star power than we do. Nobody has told me. So where's the self-implosion coming from, my brother?
We have told you.
We've come to that. No, you didn't say that. You added names. And that's still
It's five.
It's four. I'm not giving you five. No it's way five. In hell.
You can't just I'm not giving decide.
You
can't just decide.
I'm deciding.
You're not giving. He's got star power.
This is what I mean. Man can't bring man that don't play, bruv. Or else I'll bring Donny then.
Firmino does play.
You're bringing Pogba, man. Pogba doesn't play.
What do you mean Pogba? He plays. What are you talking about?
How many games, guys?
This is we've got some listeners' questions. Yeah.
Now hold on, Stevie, come here.
No, we've got some listeners. We're not going to derail the pod with this, Timmy. We've got some listeners' questions. Yeah. So we've got the first question from Dan Cooks. How does Ollie keep his players so happy, and can he send Arteta some pointers? So the first question is, how does he keep his players so happy? Stevie, to me, you're both on mute. Like, I need one of you to answer.
I'm still fuming, bro.
So the question is, oh gosh, guys, how does Ollie keep his players so happy, and can he send Arteta some pointers?
Bro, we're Vibes FC, man. Literally. Yeah. He's, bro, Ollie knows the club. He knows the players. Like, he's living off his passion, and guys like him. Like, he's a likable character, do you know what I mean? Can he give Arteta some pointers? Right now, I don't think anyone can give that guy some pointers, man. He's flipping terrible. Mm. He's bad. But that's it, really. I don't really know what else. Like, I think we've got a respectful bunch of players as well. So I think, like, regardless of the manager, you're not really gonna see any of us like properly like down in tools. Like, players aren't really like showing dissent when they come off, or they're not outwardly speaking bad on Ollie, or all these briefs that we're hearing about Bruno's unhappy or this or that. I know that it's all cap, really, isn't it? I think he's got a good balance, man. I just wish that he could add coaching to that balance, bro.
Next question from Josh. How do you think Ollie will integrate Amad Diallo into the squad from January? Stevie? Can't hear you, Gaff.
Sorry, I was on mute. So in terms of Diallo, I expect him to kind of be gradually eased in. I think if you're looking at the way we're playing currently, even though we don't attack down the right-hand side, we're seemingly managing to get goals. And obviously, Timmy's alluded to it with our star quality. We can get goals much easier than we seem to be able to do last season prior to obviously Bruno arriving. So I wouldn't expect him to come into the league and be expected to do much straight away. Obviously, Serie A is quite different from the Premier League, and it's a lot of pressure to put on a young one's shoulders. So I'd expect him to maybe be coming on in maybe like the last sort of 15 minutes of games and trying to affect them where they're quite tight. Perhaps eased in the same way Greenwood was, because the start of last season, everyone was asking Greenwood to start in all the matches. I think in the first game of the season, we were expecting him to play, but Ole gradually eased him in, and I'd expect him to do something similar with Diallo, to be honest.
Cool. Next question from Ricky 1G. What is more important in January, CB or DM?
Centre-back.
And why?
Can't have Maguire playing games.
He's right.
He's not going to be the one. Fact, he's not going to be the one that gets dropped, though. You know that.
That's the sad part.
Not even just that. We can't have the same two centre backs playing every single minute of every single game. Like, guys need rest, especially with the season, the way it's going with the whole COVID, and you know, like, people get it for 2 weeks, then they're not the same for 3 months. Paul Pogba, do you get what I'm saying? So, centre-back is an area that we need reliability, which we can't get from we can get it from Lindelof and Maguire at the moment, but one injury to them, one decent, long enough injury to them, then Baye's back in, and can Baye play 3 games a week? Probably not. So, I'd say centre-back's more important.
Cool.
I actually think DM, to be honest, because it's not a clear in a way shout, but I think DM is really important because if we can get a DM who can progress the play, then that allows us to break lines quicker and perhaps get the ball forwards quicker. And so when we're up against these deep block teams where we're struggling to create a moment of brilliance, we can have a midfielder who can open that game up. But obviously we know Pogba can do that, but defensively he can't be in the positions we need him to be. So I think DM would be really good because one, it helps us going forward if we can get someone who's a sprayers, but also defensively it could help them anchor Lindelof and Maguire. And then we might actually see Pogba and Bruno together. And I think if we saw Pogba and Bruno together with a competent DM, then I think we might actually get the best out of Pogba, which in turn might result in him staying and us actually functioning to a good level. So I'd lean towards DM, but I think it's tight.
Okay. Who is the most realistic DM we should be looking at? I've seen us linked with that Moises Saucedo, who looks really good. I think is he Colombian? Is he Ecuadorian or something? One of them South American flags with yellow and red in it. But he looks really good. He's like 19 years old. He covers ground really well. He can beat players off the dribble and he can distribute the ball. You wouldn't be looking for a 19-year-old to necessarily come in and change things around or necessarily play a key role in the Premier League so early. So who would you potentially think is a realistic target for us to get in January to come in straight away and improve the team?
The thing is, I don't actually know. I think we mentioned it earlier. Partey would have been the ideal signing. I think to get a player who's available, who's got the right level of experience and quality mid-season, I don't know if that person's out there at the minute. I know Bissouma has been good for Brighton, but I haven't personally watched him week in, week out. So I don't know if he can play the DM role. Because he looks to me...
He's more of an 8 than a DM.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if he fits that profile. And we need someone who's going to be positionally very astute. So, I actually don't know.
Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job sites, according to Comscore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at indeed.com/bluewire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/bluewire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you got any ideas, Timmy?
Not really, bro. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I liked Tonali last year. Obviously, he's gone Milan, so...
What's that guy?
That was my choice.
Cool.
Who?
Zakaria, is it?
Yeah, again, I don't really know too much about this guy. There's a DM that plays in Germany. I think his name begins with an L. And I can't remember who he plays for. Lima is his name?
Yeah, I think Christoph. I don't know.
Lime or something? I've seen his name floated around a bit. I don't know if he plays for Leipzig or whoever he plays for. I'll be lying if I said I knew, innit? But I've seen his name getting thrown around a bit. So I guess I'll do a little bit of research on this guy going forward. But cool. As for now, for DM, I'm not too sure, man. Mm. I'm not too sure.
I've got a question from Andre Cooper. Every time I see Tellers on in place of Shaw, I feel safe. Do you think we should drop him altogether?
Drop Shaw?
Yeah.
No Andre,
that's been the opposite for me, boy.
Agreed.
I love the left-back dynamic, though. I think they're both pushing each other on, and there's real quality in that position now. And I want the same for the right back position, because you've got Wan-Bissaka playing 5,000 minutes a year and looking out of shape and falling over. So we need to duplicate that on the right. But I love, like yesterday, Shaw played 60 minutes solid, and we could rest him and get Tellers on. And Tellers would do his bit as well. I do agree with Timmy. Shaw has been much better than Tellers. But I love the dynamic on the left back position.
The less I say about Tellers, the better. We're...
Got a question from Kyle Day. Mariah, after seeing that 9 a.m. performance against Leeds, how do I feel? It hasn't really changed how I feel. Like, I already know what Martial is about. For me, I'm actually more worried that he's not putting the chances away, if anything, because that is something that he's always done well. He's always, for those of you who believe in it, and I am somebody who does, he's always outperformed his XG, always been clinical, and he's a good footballer. He's generally a good footballer. So the fact that, not just in this game, over the last half a dozen games or so, he's consistently missed chances, which could have potentially changed games for us. You're looking at the game against PSG. You're looking at the chances he missed against West Brom. You're looking again at the chances that he missed in the Leeds game. And it's worrying. It's worrying, in all honesty. I agree with you that at some point in the season, he will pick up some form and he'll maybe grab like 6-8 or 6-7 or something like that. But I need that to happen sooner rather than later. Got a question from Rodney, it looks like. Can we get a no-confidence vote to get Timmy off Mugger? I think we're all right.
Rodney's just a weirdo. The guy's just a weirdo. Yeah.
I've got a question.
What can you say? This guy doesn't even watch games, fam. He don't come on the pod. He don't watch games. Like, he's just in the chat to just chat shit. They'll get rid of you before me, bruv. Facts.
No comment.
You don't have to, bro. I know.
Who should start in our B team to maintain our position in the top four and give the A team players a rest over Xmas? Van der Beek potentially comes in. Tellers, yeah, I'm not the biggest Tellers fan. Do we want to see a bit of Tuanzebe at the back?
Hopefully, yeah.
I think it's interesting. Obviously, we're not too. None of us are content at the centre back pairing, but then I don't think centre back's a position where you can come in. Play players and then give them a rest. I think if you're going to switch it up, like, it means you decide to go with two and then you stick with them. I'm not sure centre-backs per se need a rest in season. I'd rather you stick with the same pairing and hope they continue to grow their understanding. I'd be looking to rotate the full-backs. Aaron Wan-Bissaka definitely needs a rest and he needs to perhaps clear his head. I'd like to see, obviously, Pogba and Van der Beek come in and give Fred a rest, because I think Fred's played a lot of minutes. And then I think Cavani needs to play as well. One, to take the pressure off Martial slightly, and two, because he's actually just probably the only all-round competent number nine we have. Bit of rotation there. Bruno needs a rest as well, because Bruno, we know he's high risk, high reward. And when he's tired and the reward disappears,
the risk,
high risk, no reward.
It's true. There was actually some DMs that have been mentioned in the comments. Douglas Luiz, Zakaria, Lemar, that Toby mentioned, but he said he's more of a pressing monster. And a DM from Inter Milan has been mentioned too. Toby's also said we should recall Dallo.
The thing is, realistically, we know that Aston Villa are not going to let Douglas Luiz go on the cheap, let alone let him go in January. So I think that one's probably a miss. I'm not too sure about Zakaria. Recalling Dallo, I don't think we have enough protection for us to be playing Dallo, because Dallo defensively, he's not good enough. So I think I'd like to see Laird given a chance there. And maybe, I'm not the biggest fan of Williams, but he's been playing on the wrong side, so maybe he could get a run out right back.
No, Bradley and Williams, man. He's pants. Cool. So with that, I will thank you all for your time. Stevie, that's always a pleasure.
Hi, Timmy, run me my dollars.
Next week, you're gonna be.
I'm gonna listen back though, because I genuinely do think you said his name, fam. So I'm gonna listen back.
Get him, man.
Next week, I think I said his name, not Stevie.
Oh, might have been you then. All right, so someone said it.
I think so. Run it back. Yeah,
we squashed the bet then.
No. I think we're gonna have to check because he called you out and you punked out.
Timmy, I hope you know Mario knows he was the one who said it and he let you drown and burn.
Drown and burn, fam. Where? I know someone said it. I was talking to you, fam. Someone said it. What do you want me to do? I heard his name. That was it. Gomez, fam.
Come.
Get me.
You know, Stevie psyched you out, though.
Yeah, fam. Bruv, the reason that I'm such a good poker player is I know how to fold.
Yeah, so I want to thank you lot for your time this evening. Timmy, always a pleasure, brother. Stevie, next week, hopefully you'll be in Ghana. So you probably won't be on, but if that doesn't work...
Materialize? I told you, by force or by fire, boy. I'm going to be there.
Bro, I hope your flight gets cancelled, fam.
Is that what we're doing now?
Brother, I hope you don't go, fam. Stay in England with us, fam.
All right, I'm going to send you snaps all week. I want you to know.
Well, thanks for your time, boys. Peace.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder.
Thank you, man.
And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny.
Ready! Description. Oh. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Still